Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle here in the United States. I want to thank everyone for listening today. We've got some incredible guests coming on the show, both the first hour and the second hour. During the first hour, I'll be interviewing Jim Mars, who's a famous investigative reporter. He's written some incredibly interesting books. And he's on the line now. We'll be going to him in just a few minutes here. During my second hour, I'll be interviewing Emmy Shanti. She's a really interesting spiritual lady who's taken people down to some incredible spiritual places down in South America and Central America. She also works with the Expo in Los Angeles. That'll be on February 10th through the 13th next year. I'll be giving presentations there along with Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project, and she'll be coming on for the second hour. I wanted to tell you all that I want to thank you all for helping to make Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and also one of the most the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. I'm so grateful to have Jim on today. He's such an incredible guy, and I think you'll find his interview really interesting. I wanted to tell you some really interesting events that will be coming up. From October 19th through November 5th, I'll be sponsoring a U.S. West Coast tour by Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project. It'll be starting in San Francisco on October 20th at the Petaluma, at the Institute for Noetic Sciences in Petaluma, California. Then on the 21st, we'll have a second, she'll be giving a second interview or presentation at the East-West Center there in San Francisco. After that, she'll be giving a series of presentations, including Mount Shasta at the Community Library there on October 23rd, followed by Portland, Oregon on October 27th, Olympia, Washington at the Evergreen Longhouse on October 28th, followed by more presentations in Olympia, Washington on November 1st and 2nd, in Tacoma on November 3rd, and finally on November 4th, she'll be giving a presentation at the Listel Hotel in downtown Vancouver, Canada. So for more information about that, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld.com. 1150.com and click on events. You can also go to the Emoto Peace Project website at www.emotopeaceproject.me, and you can find out more information about that as well. With that, I'd like to bring on Jim onto my program. Jim, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm pretty tolerable.
I remember you said that before, and I had to laugh.
Well, you asked me before, and I'm just as tolerable now as I was then.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's great, Jim. Well, you know, you've written some incredible books. You've written Alien Agenda, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, Rule by Secrecy, a whole bunch of really interesting books. I've written about three or four of your different books, and I've been always impressed with the amount of research and depth and the information that you bring out, Jim. And I always like your opinions too. I've been listening to you for years on other radio shows, including Coast to Coast. And you always have something to say. I mean, it's interesting, really interesting to say. And that's because
it's real easy today to listen to mainstream media and then say, wait a minute, how about some common sense?
Well, I don't think we have a lot of common sense out there sometimes.
No, but not really. I mean, you know, first we're told Hillary's fine, and then we're told she's sick, and then we're told she had an attack, and then we're told she had she collapsed, and then she bounces out, you know, looking thinner and shorter and says, no, I'm okay. And then we're told, no, well, actually, she had a bout of non-contagious pneumonia, which, by the way, there's no such thing. Mm-hmm. And then she goes out in front of Chelsea's apartment and is grabbing this little girl, you know, who turned out to be an actor, by the way.
Huh.
And, you know, it's like, come here, little girl, I'll give you my pneumonia.
Oh, no.
None of this makes any sense, you know?
Yeah, none of this makes any sense at all. there was a. I always think that there's a schism. There's a separation between reality, what's really going on, Jim, and what we're told in the mass media as to what's going on. So,
and that kind of leads to my question. I was going to kind of lead you into with here.
Sure.
The Voyager 2, which was sent off into space back in the 70s, has now left the solar system.
Hmm.
It's the farthest any man-made object has ever gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's out in the universe now, floating around.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does it have depictions of a human male and a human female, but also kind of gives like a little map, roadmap of, hey, where we're located. You know, we're here around this little third-rate sun out on the boondocks, the outer edge of the Milky Way galaxy.
And, you're funny.
And by the way, here we are, folks, and listen, hey, listen to some of our music. And so they put snatches of Earth music on there to soothe the people out in the universe. But what gets me is, of course, they probably have Beethoven and Chopin.
Right.
But they've also got Chuck Berry.
Oh, how funny.
So my question to you is, guess what famous Chuck Berry tune is now out beyond the solar system?
Oh, boy, Jim, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to... I can't tell you. I'm afraid I can't.
You got a blank. Okay. All right. Well, here's a hint. It's Johnny B. Goode.
Oh, Johnny B. Goode. How funny.
Way down in Louisiana, New Orleans, back in the woods among the evergreens. Well, there's a country boy named Johnny B. Goode. Okay. Anyway, isn't that weird? That so now we got Chuck Berry is out into the universe.
Oh, how funny.
That, of course, has raised some fairly serious questions. Even Stephen Hawking is on the record saying, you know, maybe we ought to be careful about who we advertise our location to. You know, we might not like who shows up.
Oh, <that's
laughs> and then that leads into the whole question about, number one, are they aliens or are they not aliens? And, you know, the public has changed drastically on that because the national polls back in the 40s and 50s showed that virtually nobody believed there was any life outside the Earth. And today, it's quite the opposite. Most everybody, 80% or more, are saying, yeah, we think there's probably somebody out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so maybe we do have to be careful because we don't want to get taken over. And and that reminds me that I wanted to let your listeners know that they've just reissued that famous book by L. Ron Hubbard called Battlefield Earth. And in that book, Battlefield Earth, it's interesting because we were talking about Johnny B. Goode. Well, in the book, the hero is Johnny Goodboy Tyler, okay?
Oh, how funny. That's
isn't that
funny.
Something? And
yeah.
That's kind of weird. And but he rallies the humans in the year 3000 to revolt against the alien oppressors, the Cyclos. And it's really kind of an interesting read. I read it when it first came out, and a lot of people don't realize that before he got connected to Scientology, I guess he started it, L. Ron Hubbard was actually quite a revered science fiction writer.
Really?
He was right up there with Arthur C. Clarke and Larry Niven and Ray Bradbury and Isaac Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke. And, you know, it's like, and so I read that way back there.
Mm-hmm.
And what gets me, Ted, is that unlike some of the more recent aliens gonna get you shows like Independence Day,
right?
Where they come and they blow up the White House and they blow up all the buildings and they, you know, destroying everything,
right?
In Battlefield Earth, I think old Hubbard had maybe had a kind of a psychic peek into the future, because in Battlefield Earth, it's the intergalactic bankers who loan money to the intergalactic mining corporation. So they can come and strip mine the Earth of mineral resources. And, oh, yes, of course, by the way, these pesky humans are in the way, you know, so we have to ship them off to FEMA camp. I mean, just alien camps or whatever they are, you know.
Interesting.
And so isn't that interesting? So not only does it carve out the basic story of we have to be careful about who we greet to Earth, but it also gives us a template on how to act if they come and try to take over. You know, we got to band together and defend our home world, if you will.
Well, I think one of the most important lessons that people are learning nowadays, Jim, and is that we're all one. We all have the spark of the Creator, or the divine spark of the Creator within us. And so, if you heard
That's so true.
I'm sorry, what, Jim?
I just said that's so true.
Oh, well, thank you, my friend. Yeah, because you see, if you hurt somebody else or you cause somebody else problems, you're really hurting yourself because we're all connected.
That's right.
We're all connected. And that's one of the most important things. And I think that's going to be a catalyst in the future for eliminating war. I really think that we have a really bright future ahead of us. Sure, we've had problems on this planet. No, I'm not going to deny that.
No, I totally agree with you, Ted. We have a very bright future ahead of us if we can just get rid of our criminal leaders.
Very interesting point.
I use the term advisedly. I'm not trying to play politics here.
Sure.
You know, if you don't like liberals, don't like conservatives. Conservatives don't like liberals. The Democrats don't like Republicans. You know, that's politics. No.
Right.
I'm talking about people in leadership position who are and will continue to violate laws, not only our laws but international laws. They are criminals. Okay.
Well,
period. End of story. I don't know about you, but I've been to too many parties or church gatherings or whatever, and you try to bring up something, and they go, oh, well, we don't want to discuss politics or religion, you know,
right.
Which is, I think, in general, is probably a pretty good rule, except, so I always say, well, look, can we talk about criminal activity?
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Surely we can talk about criminals.
Well, that's a very interesting point you brought up, because I'm sure you as you know, Jim, that there's been a lot of protests recently in North Dakota that hasn't been covered by the mass media.
Right.
There's been
you want to hear a conspiracy theory? I think some of this these oddballs that are trying to create terroristic actions and bombs and some of these riots. I noticed in Charlotte that most of the people who've been arrested for rioting, okay, not peaceful protesting, rioting in Charlotte, have out-of-state licenses. Okay,
oh, interesting.
They were shipped in.
Interesting.
All right, so what's that about? Well, I think they're trying to distract us from some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they're trying to distract us from is the ongoing incarceration and trials against the people at the Mohair Wildlife Center there in Oregon.
Oh, yes.
And the Bundys in Nevada. They keep dragging it out, hoping they can convict them of something, and they just hadn't quite been able to do it, but they're still holding them incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
American citizens, okay, being held prisoner by our government for trying to defend the Constitution of the United States. People need to start paying attention to that.
Interesting. And, you know, I think a lot of people want to know the truth about what's going on, too.
Yes.
I haven't kept track of this, but I know the believability. I've heard there's a believability index of the mass media in the United States, and it's hit new record lows where people just don't believe anything anymore.
Well, they keep getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar. You know, they tell us stuff that's not true. They don't tell us stuff that is true, and they've actually even been caught faking the news.
Now, that I've heard about recently. There's been some real interesting posts on Facebook. There was one interview with a reporter from CNN, who I like to call the Cabal News Network, who she said that she was actually paid by some U.S. government official to do stories.
Right.
And so, so much for
free
press.
Well, it's just gotten worse and worse. I mean, you know, I got a degree in journalism back in the 60s.
Right.
And have worked worked in major newspapers since the 50s.
Right.
And I've watched it totally change from in big cities where you'd have 2, 3, 4 newspapers, maybe more, maybe one or two major ones and a few smaller ones.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of them, fails to tell the truth, then there was always an alternative. There was always somebody to jump into the gap and fill in the blanks.
Right.
But that's all gone away. First, they have now, in every major market, there's usually only one major newspaper, and they are in collusion with the broadcasting systems. AP and the newspapers and the electronic TV and radio broadcasting, they all belong to various corporations that pool their news stories.
Oh,
that's why if you've ever had the experience of you're at home in one city and you watch the news and you hear one story and they cast it in a certain way,
right,
and then you travel and that night you're in a whole different state, a whole different a town or city, and you see their news program and you see the exact same story cast in the exact same way.
Jim,
and what they're doing, Ted, is they are creating an electromagnetic matrix all around us, okay?
Interesting.
We're just like in the movie, except we're not physically hooked to computers, but we are emotionally and psychologically and mentally hooked into this electromagnetic matrix, and they weave about us trying to make us see the world the way they want us to see it, not necessarily the way that it is.
I have to tell you this story. It's about 6 months ago, and I was having some fun on YouTube one night, Jim, and I found it. I'll find the YouTube video on it and post it on my website this weekend. But what it was, Jim, was a series of clips from different news stations around the country, television, mostly television, and some radio, with the exact same words for the exact same story. Over and over and over again, it repeated itself 12 different times.
Yeah,
it was in, like, there was one in Seattle, another one in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Dallas, and it was the same thing. And at the end of the clips, the fellow who put it together said, "Is this freedom? Is this freedom of the press in America?"
And I thought, I've seen those. I've seen those myself. And what gets me is sometimes it's obviously they're just reading the same script.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And what's even worse is oftentimes it really doesn't even have anything to do with the actual facts of the story. It's just right in their wording. Like, for example, you know, one station says, "Well, now here's a story that'll really rattle your cage," and then you go and you see the next clip from a totally different station. They're going, "Now here's a story that'll really rattle your cage."
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I mean, they're just reading off the scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if we're going to be a free people, we got to start figuring out who's writing the scripts.
That's funny. That's
because you can't trust the news presenters.
No.
In fact, that's interesting too. You know, in England, they don't call them anchors or newscasters. They call them presenters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And isn't that apropos?
Interesting.
That is so true, because they're just presenting.
Interesting.
They, you know, we used to call it rip and read. They'll go rip the AP wire and then read it on the air, and then pass that off as real news.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Well, you know, Jim, I know there's a lot of good reporters out there, but you're one of the few that I know of who really speaks his mind right from the heart, and you're not afraid to tell the truth. That's what I like about you.
Well, back in the days of the old Republic, when I was taking journalism courses at the University of North Texas in their journalism department, they actually tried to teach me. They said, look beyond the press releases, look beyond the corporate handouts and the government pronouncements. Try to find the truth as best you can and present it to your public, you know. Well, hey, Ted, fool that I was. I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing.
Well,
and I still think that's what I'm supposed to be doing. But, of course, what's bad is that when the vast majority of people hear one story on CNN or Fox, and I tell them another, then all of a sudden I'm the conspiracy theorist.
Oh, how funny. How funny. Well, I want to tell you, of course, my program is named Out of This World, and we have a lot of different people on the show who are out of this world. And back about 2 years ago, I had a wonderful astrologer named Susan Miller from New York City. And one thing that she told me, Jim, and I want to tell you now, it was very interesting. She said, beginning in 2014 on through the end of this decade, into the 2020s, and for the next couple decades after that and forever, this is a time of truth where things that are true will become truer, and those that are false will be self-evident as false and fall by the wayside. And I've thought about that, and so your kind of investigative journalism, and hopefully my radio show as well, in which we attempt to tell the truth, or at least as it is, we don't hide things, we'll have a resonance with people not only in this country but around the world, because people want the truth nowadays. They're tired of giving the edited version, to say it politely.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And that's why the polls show that, nobody's believing the corporate media anymore. They've just proven, they have proven themselves not capable of actually dispensing truth.
Right.
And that's kind of a sad commentary, because especially in a country where we like to pride ourselves on being free and democratic, how can we make any correct decisions if we're operating on incomplete or erroneous information?
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. I have to ask you this. Now, I've heard rumors that I know that Hillary's having a lot of health problems. And Benjamin Fulford, you probably know about him. He posted something on Facebook saying that Hillary had actually passed away or had a stroke on September 11th when she was at the memorial in New York City. And she will be unable to campaign for president. And her handlers or whoever's helping her right now, they don't know what to do. If it's true, if she has passed or has had a debilitating stroke, they don't know what to do because what do they do? Bring another clone in?
I don't think anybody's shown any great enthusiasm for Biden. A little bit late for bringing in a totally unknown candidate.
Right.
Yeah, I think they got a real problem. And I'm not going to say I've heard the same rumors. I'm not going to go so far as to say that she's actually dead. They're covering it up. As controlled as the media is, even boggles my mind to think that they, number one, could do that.
Right.
Number two, would actually have the gall to do that, you know. But I do think, and it's quite clear that Hillary Clinton is probably not physically able to hold the office of president.
Right.
So I think that does put them in panic mode because they're not really sure quite what to do. But let me throw another angle at you, too. And I don't have a whole lot of good things to say about Donald Trump. I've never really cared for him much. I thought he was arrogant and egotistical and thought he was just, you know, trying to be a self-promoter and a big shot. But he has created a lot of businesses and built a lot of things, and he's had a lot of successes, and he's had a lot of failures. But then, you know, I can look back on my own life and you know, on my failures, and, hey, if I hadn't tried something, you know, you never know.
Well,
you never know if it's going to work or not.
That's
but
true.
At least you're out trying something.
Right.
And you're trying to build something. But I will say this. All you have to do is look at the people who are just absolutely vocal, loudly vocal in their opposition to Donald Trump.
Right.
Even George Herbert Walker Bush says, well, I may have to vote Democratic. He's a Republican, okay?
Look
at Cheney and you look at Rumsfeld, all these people now, they're saying, no, not Trump. You don't want Trump.
Right.
And you got these national security experts, you know, and they're so expert. Look at our foreign policy over the past 10 or 20 years. It's been disastrous. So obviously they're not very good. But they're all saying, no, we can't have Trump. Can't have Trump. I want to tell you something. I think we see the New World Order crawling out from the woodwork. Everyone who is the most vociferous against Trump is usually one of those Bilderbergers or a Council on Foreign Relations gal. I think now it's exposing these New World Order people.
Well, I think you're right, Jim. And one thing I want to share with you regarding Hillary, if she is incapacitated, it reminds me of an old James Bond movie called Thunderball in 1977. You probably saw it. Where this Texas oil tycoon named James White was captured by some negative elements, and they actually used a voice recorder to disguise his voice. So they had somebody else running his corporate empire, and this had been going on for years. Nobody had seen him. All he could do was have this fakey voice that would come out.
Isn't that what happened with Howard Hughes?
Oh, that's right. That's
Remember?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Let me tell you something. They've got it today where they can go almost undetectable. General Colin Powell was called to a meeting. This was well reported on and well documented. This isn't some conspiracy theory. And at the meeting, he listened to a recording of himself talking to other generals saying, I've called us here today so we can overthrow the government of the United States.
Oh, you're kidding.
And he was amazed because it was his voice.
Uh-huh.
And what they did, this was an example of what they call voice morphing. And what they can do is they can take just a snatch of anybody's conversation. You're on the radio, it'd be no problem at all to get your voice because you're talking for an hour or so, you know. So they get your voice, and then they can run it through this computer program, and they can have your voice saying anything they want you to say.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And that's really pretty scary. But by the way, this story announcing that they had developed this voice morphing came out in 1999 and 2000. Okay? So I want everybody to remember that when they hear the arguments about 9/11 and they go, yeah, but we got all those calls from the cell phones, you know? No, they really didn't. And we have to wonder whose voices they really were.
Interesting. I've heard persistent rumors over the years, Jim, that 9/11 was actually an inside job. Many people.
Well, I'm here to tell you it's not a rumor.
Okay. All right. Well,
Well, I mean, number one, let me quote to you from John Farmer.
Okay.
Now, who's John Farmer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is a former Attorney General of New Jersey, but his real claim to fame is he was the senior counsel of the official 9/11 commission.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And on page two, right at the front of his mm-hmm. book he published mm-hmm. in 2009 mm-hmm. called mm-hmm. Ground Truth, mm-hmm. he states, now this is the senior counsel of the official George W. Bush appointed 9/11 commission, and he says,
George
in the course
Bush.
Of our investigation into the national response to the attacks, the 9/11 commission staff discovered mm-hmm. that the official version of what occurred that morning, mm-hmm. that is, what government military officials had told mm-hmm. Congress, the commission, mm-hmm. the media, and the public mm-hmm. about who knew what and when, mm-hmm. was almost entirely and inexplicably untrue. Untrue.
Wow.
And just
amazing.
So you don't think, you know, in case you're saying, well, maybe you were just misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On the next page, he says, mm-hmm. at some level of the government, at some point in time, mm-hmm. there was a decision not to tell the truth about what happened.
Oh, God.
So wait a minute. So the senior counsel from the 9/11 commission says that what they told us is totally and inexplicably untrue. So wait a minute. What's the truth?
And in other words, we've been lied to. To
exactly.
say it another way.
Hmm. Exactly.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I hadn't realized that. Sometimes the truth is hidden in plain sight, so to speak.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on I can give you the exact date. September the 13th of 2013, President Barack Hussein Obama mm-hmm. announced publicly that he was going to bypass the laws, United States laws, prohibiting the sale of arms to known terrorist groups because he wanted to arm the Syrian rebels mm-hmm. so they could overthrow Assad in Syria. Okay? Now, that was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Here it
mm-hmm.
is, you know, 3 years later, almost right. 4 years later, and we're
right.
still fighting over there.
Right.
Now we're getting the Russians involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, wait a minute. And now, of course, we're in a fight with ISIS. Well, who was ISIS? Mm-hmm. ISIS was the Syrian rebels.
Ah,
okay.
Interesting.
So, in other words, we're creating our own enemies
right.
all around the world. And now now we're kind of caught because now Russia says, oh, you want to fight ISIS? Well, here, let us help you. And they're going there and bomb ISIS. And we're stuck because we say, hey, wait. They're saying they're almost going to start World War III because the Russians are attacking our guys. Well, wait a minute. Yes, they're our guys. But who's our guys? ISIS, the ones we've armed and supported. And
right.
we're kind of caught.
Right.
We really can't publicly say, hey, quit bombing our guys.
And I'm sure the Europeans aren't too happy about that, especially those in France who've experienced some pretty awful terrorist attacks from ISIS.
That's right.
In the last year. And they're
That's
kind of,
right. And look at Germany. Germany is about to flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
Merkel is up for a re-election either, I think it's next year or mm-hmm. the year after.
Mm-hmm.
And things are not looking good for her at all because mm-hmm. the anti-immigration conservative factions of the German people are now beginning to coalesce and react to their just this, you know, ongoing influx of these immigrants, both legal and illegal,
right.
that are now causing so much problem in
right.
places like Sweden and Greece and all, you know, a lot of the Baltic, a lot of the countries down there in Southeast Europe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think what it comes down to is, in the words of that great philosopher Pogo,
mm-hmm.
he said, "We have met the enemy. And he is us."
Right. Interesting. Interesting. I think a lot of bringing it back to the United States, I don't think we're threatened so much from interests from entities abroad as we are within our own ranks here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm reminded of the mm-hmm. oath I took when I joined mm-hmm. the United States Army.
Mm-hmm.
And I pledged to defend the Constitution, not
mm-hmm.
the president, not
mm-hmm.
the Congress.
Right.
Not some politician.
Mm-hmm.
I pledge to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's why I started off the program talking about criminals.
Interesting.
The enemies we have today are mm-hmm. primarily domestic.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Fascinating.
Because if you'll think, what other country, do we really think North Korea could somehow invade, conquer, and then occupy North America? You know, come on.
Yeah.
You know, Yeah. Possibly Russia could do that, but I don't think Russia wants to do that.
No.
Why do I think Russia doesn't want to do that? Well, because let's go back and let's use our thinking caps and our memories, faulty as they are, thanks to the fluoride in the water and the chemtrails in the air. Okay? We go back when the collapse of communism there in the early 90s.
Right.
And at that time, the Russian military was occupying most of Eastern Europe, right?
Mm, true.
Poland, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania, Baltic states, you know?
Sure.
And so then after they kind of dropped communism, or at least modified it tremendously, they said, okay, I'll tell you what, we will voluntarily withdraw our military from Eastern Europe if you, the West, will promise not to expand NATO. Okay? They said because they were holding on to those Eastern European nations because they had a history of being invaded three times from Europe, okay?
Sure.
Twice by Napoleon, once by Hitler.
Right.
And they decided, wait a minute, we're not going to wait till they're crossing our border. We're going to have this little buffer zone here.
Right.
But then they said, okay, Cold War is over, communism's collapsed, let's all be friends. And they voluntarily left Eastern Europe. Nobody pushed them out. We didn't push them out. NATO didn't push them out.
Sure.
They just left, okay? And what did we do? We started ringing those countries and bringing them into NATO, expanding NATO, and putting missiles, offensive missiles, in those countries. Now, you know, you have to stop and wonder, wait a minute now, who's the good guys and who's the bad guys?
Interesting. Interesting, Jim. That's a fascinating point. But now we've got, what, NATO's in Poland, right? And they're in, I think they're in Finland. Where else? Turkey, they've been there for a long time. So they're basically ringing Russia right now, and Russia is getting very, very uncomfortable.
In fact, if you go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, you'll find that the deal that was actually cut was that Russia agreed to withdraw their offensive missiles from Cuba, and we agreed to withdraw our offensive missiles from Turkey.
Sure.
But
sure, absolutely.
It's my understanding that today they're back in there again.
right. I have to ask you about something, Jim, and I've read Edgar Cayce's works before, and he made a prediction, if I'm not mistaken, years ago when he was alive, that Russia would be, what's the right word, a savior of the West, would help.
Well, as I recall, I made a pretty good study of Cayce. I think he said that Russia and the United States would eventually become allies.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, this was that was probably predicted in the 30s,
right.
So it's possible that he was thinking about the alliance we had with Russia during World War II. But actually, my impression was actually he was looking into the far future, because now that gets to one of the other greatest seers in history, which is Nostradamus.
Oh, yes, right.
And according to Nostradamus, who's been proven correct in so many things, he said eventually it's going to be Russia and America versus China and the Muslim nations.
Interesting.
So, you know, right now that doesn't seem like that's too possible, but hey, things change quickly and radically.
Yeah, things change quickly and radically. Absolutely, absolutely.
And
you
people,
know, Jim,
people don't quite understand how quickly things can change.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
This is why I'm not sure I'm really looking forward to the next couple of months. I think we're going to see some really drastic changes taking place over the next few months. But to illustrate what I'm saying is, in the summer of 1939, the world was at peace.
Right.
It was a pleasant summer. Europeans were vacationing. Americans, you know, didn't have a care in the world. Everything's fine.
Right.
September the 1st, Hitler invades Poland. Within a few months, and less than 6 months later, we're in a world war.
Right.
And that's how fast things can change.
Right, exactly. And the Nazis were in Paris in June of 1940 as well.
Yeah,
marking
exactly.
About, you know, a little less than a year later. I still see the future is bright, although on the I don't want to talk too much about politics, Jim, but I'd love to run a couple things by you. If, for example, Hillary does it, let's say she's had a stroke.
Right.
What are they going to do? Who's going to step into her shoes? And I I wish they'd be honest with us if she is having
problems. That's the only thing I'd ask. That's the only thing I ask. Okay, good, bad, and different. Just tell me the truth.
Right,
you
exactly.
You know, and I don't like to consider myself a considered enough person, a thoughtful enough person, a caring enough person, that I would hope if you just tell me the truth, I really believe I'll make the correct decision on whatever issue it is. In fact, I'll extrapolate that up to the population in general. I think I really have the utmost faith, confidence in the American people. If they were simply told the truth about all these situations, I think they would make the correct decisions in regards to those situations. The problem is, like I said earlier, most people are living in a matrix created for them by the mass corporate media, and they don't have a clue as to what's truly going on.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Jim, as an investigative journalist, I know you cover stories that other people don't. What do you think of some of the stories that aren't being covered now by the mass media?
Well, like I said, we should really be, if this was back in the 1700s at the time of the American Revolution, there would be a huge public interest in the trials taking place of the Bundy siblings and of the people who were arrested up at the Mohair Center and the murder, the absolute, and that's been now demonstrated and proven, the government-sanctioned murder of Lavoie Finicum. Okay? And they would be all upset about that. But no, nobody can think about that because we're totally and constantly harassed with another bomb went off, another strange shooting, and more rioting.
Right.
You know, anything they can do to keep people's minds off of what's really going on.
Interesting. Is there any investigation at all regarding this murder of this fellow by government agents?
Yes, but it's just like there was an investigation of the Murrah Federal Building bombing Oklahoma City, and it was laid right back at the feet of government officials. Okay, same thing with the bombing of 1993, the bombing of the North Tower of the World Trade Center.
Well,
it is now not even debatable that bombing was carried out by the FBI. They knew about it. Their operative said, "I think I can substitute fake explosives." And FBI officials said, "No, no, go ahead and let them set it off." And they did.
Wow.
So it was the FBI that bombed the World Trade Center in 1993. Wow. And people don't realize this. This is why the FBI still comes out and just, well, I mean, look at what we just saw here recently. You know, the head of the FBI comes out and says, "Well, yes, Hillary Clinton really actually committed all these crimes, but, well, she didn't really intend to, so we're not going to prosecute. We're not going to do anything about it." And the head of the Justice Department, a Obama appointee, Loretta Lynch, another great Hillary supporter and Democrat, says, "Well, I'm going to yield to the FBI. Whatever they think, I'll just go along with that." What are you talking about? She's their boss. Head of the Justice Department is over the FBI. But she's going to let them tell her that, well, yeah, there were crimes committed, but we're not going to do anything about it because there wasn't any intention. Okay, wait a minute. Everybody remember this now. The next time the cop stops you for going 10 miles over the speed limit, you be sure and tell him, "Well, officer, I didn't really mean to," and watch how fast he lets you off.
Sure, exactly. And recently, about a couple of months ago, Bill Clinton had a private meeting with the Attorney General on an airport runway where he—
Totally unethical.
Where he claims all they did was talk about grandchildren. And the weather, probably.
Okay, but wait a minute. This is coming from the same guy who said, "I didn't have sex with that woman." Come on, people, wake up and smell the dark coffee.
You are so funny. You are so funny, Jim. This is great. This is great. Hey, I wanted to ask you a quick question, and I don't mean
I'll give you a quick answer.
All right. You can think about it, too. I'm having a conference of my own conference next year in Olympia, Washington on March 10, 11, and 12 called the Galactic Wisdom Conference. And you have so much galactic wisdom, I'd love to have you come up if you have time.
All right. Let me give you a very definite maybe.
Okay. All right. What I can do is...
Just let me know more about that. That does sound interesting. Right now, the only things I'm looking forward to is at the end of October, I think I'm going to be in Santa Clara, California for the Alien Con. That looks like that may be shaping up to be a pretty big event.
Cool.
And then I'm also, I think I'll probably be returning to Contact in the Desert at the end of May.
Oh, excellent.
Year.
Excellent.
Yeah. And
excellent.
That thing has just evolved. It's just exploded into this huge, really, I mean, the first time I've been up there, I guess this will be my fifth year, maybe fourth. And mm-hmm. the first year, they were expecting about 500, and they ended up with 700-800, so they prepared for more. And the next year, they prepared for, you know, about 900, and they had 1,200. And the next year, they prepared for 1,200, and they had 2,000. And it just keeps growing. And, you know, this is kind of an interesting thing, Ted, because I think this illustrates what I try to tell people. I really do believe that we are at the well-known tipping point. I really believe there's more thoughtful, caring, concerned people in the United States today than ever before, and we're ready to tip the scales back to a more harmonious and just society. But the problem is mm-hmm. nobody knows we're past the tipping point because the mass media is controlled by these six corporations, and they don't tell us that. Well, and most people watch the news, and they don't see their views reflected in the corporate mass media, so they think, well, gee, I'm just alone. Well, you know, what can I do? Nobody believes the way I do, but they do.
Jim, you've hit it bullseye right on the head, because a lot of my friends I talk to are psychics, and frankly, they're out of this world. And I've been told that between September 5th and the 15th, this planet was hit with all kinds of uplifting, powerful energy to change the consciousness and make this world a better place. And the planet now has tipped into the positive side.
Yeah.
And so you are absolutely right. And I'll be having a program on it perhaps next Friday on how the planet actually has shifted from the negative into the positive. There was a wonderful scientist named Dr. Masaru Emoto who used to say that like 80% of the world's population is neutral, 10% is negative, and 10% is positive. So all you needed to do, Jim, is to change that 1% of the 80%, and the whole planet would change. And
That's the tipping point. That's all you need.
And
but to do that, we mm-hmm. all have to be in communication, and we have to all understand the truth about all the various issues so that we can make intelligent decisions about it.
Right.
But, of course, that's not what's happening.
Right.
Let me blow your mind here.
Okay.
I can say without fear of contradiction mm-hmm. that we are living in the apocalypse.
Mm.
Okay?
Interesting.
Because
mm-hmm.
the apocalypse is a Greek word, and its original meaning was mm-hmm. not the destruction of the world or whatever,
right.
but the earliest and the correct meaning of apocalypse was mm-hmm. the unfolding or the revealing. And I asked you, Ted, over about the past year or so, mm-hmm. have we not seen more and more coming out about what's really going on, who's really behind it, and what their mechanizations are?
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. You know, for example, during the 9/11, Hillary was led into this van, and her shoe fell off, and she looked like she may have had a stroke. I don't know what the truth is. They won't tell us. But then another woman showed up, and this woman, it was so funny.
She's bouncing around, you know.
Yeah, she's bouncing around, but she's acting really weird. And all she can say is, oh, it's a beautiful day, and everyone have a nice day. That's all she
right.
said to the camera.
Well, then keep in mind, this was about the time that they were finally backing up and saying, okay, she does have this undiagnosed pneumonia.
Right.
Well, number one, it was a non-contagious mm-hmm. pneumonia, which is, there's no such thing. Okay.
Right.
Especially with older patients, people her age, if
right.
you go in the hospital and they determine you have pneumonia, they quarantine you. Okay.
Well,
and yet she's out there grabbing this little girl.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Here, little girl, let me give you my pneumonia.
Well, the other woman that showed up, she was weighed more than Hillary.
Right.
She was
shorter.
Shorter. She was left-handed.
More smooth skin.
Right. More smooth skin,
and she carried her purse on her right shoulder, whereas Hillary traditionally had always carried her purse on the left shoulder.
Yeah. So I mean, people are noticing that, and this leads me to another point: is that I think people are really waking up, Jim. I do.
I think so.
And I think the people out there in the world, with the very intelligent. They know what's going on, and I don't think, you know, if Hillary is having health problems, I would say just come clean and say, hey, you know, she can't run for president now, or just come up and come clean so we can, as a people, make
right.
an intelligent decision
right.
what to
or
do.
Give us a, you know, if they can come out and say, okay, here's what it is, it's treatable, she'll
right.
be okay.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
right.
fine. Just tell me the truth.
Right.
That's
just tell us.
Want.
Just tell us the truth. That's all. That's
yeah.
really all we want. That's all we want. I think during When President Kennedy was assassinated back in 1963, which I think was also an inside job.
That was a coup d'etat.
Coup d'etat, absolutely. Absolutely. The changes which were happening back then, before he was murdered, assassination is a polite way of saying murdered, were coming from the top down, from his administration. Nowadays,
right.
the changes are coming from the bottom up. People like
that's
you,
right.
You
that's and, because with the coup of 1963, these self-styled globalists, these corporate rulers who head up multinational corporations and who only look at the United States as a not-so-profitable, arm of their worldwide corporation, they took over, and they've been gaining tighter and tighter control.
Right.
And that's why today we're getting in a scary time now, because now more and more, as you say, thinking people are going, wait a minute, you know, these people are trying to run everything, and they're illegitimate, and they're unconstitutional.
Right.
And so at that very time, these people, these globalists, these people who are trying to set up their new world order, they're becoming more and more arrogant.
Right.
Because it's like, basically when they show us a fatter, shorter, chubbier, smooth-skinned Hillary, and everybody goes, wait a minute, that's not her, then it's almost like, we're in charge. What are you going to do about it?
Right, exactly. Well, that's and people, I think, need to realize, too, that they are tremendous. We are all tremendous, powerful spiritual beings.
Absolutely.
And our true nature is to be benevolent, kind, sweet, and loving. Contrary to what's shown on the Cabal News Network or even Fox News, which is constant fighting all the time,
that's the whole idea. See, if the population is peaceful and prosperous and contented, you can't get anything stirred up. You can't make them do things they don't want to do. Look at the resistance of the American public to going into World War II.
Oh yeah,
they finally had to allow. And in fact, coerced the Japanese into attacking us so they could get us into World War II. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's just now well documented.
Right.
Roosevelt and George Marshall and a handful of other people, they knew Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked, and they allowed it to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
And kill 3,000 Americans just so they could get us into World War II as a united and an angered public,
Here's something out of this world I want to tell you, Jim. A week ago, and you're welcome to go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and look up my interview from last week. During the second hour from 3 to 4 p.m., I interviewed a gentleman who said that Roosevelt, actually for the first wave that hit Pearl Harbor, he said that those were, B-17s painted up like Japanese planes where they actually bombed the thing, and they were Japanese-American pilots who were later captured, and they said they were under orders by President Roosevelt to bomb Pearl Harbor, because then the Japanese, who were doing maneuvers off of Hawaii, decided to join in and start bombing. I don't know what the truth is, but that's what he said.
I know there were some bombers on the way to Pearl Harbor, but they showed up too late.
Right.
Some B-17s that were being transported over there.
Right.
No, I'm not real sure about that one. What I am sure about is that steps were taken to isolate Pearl Harbor.
Right.
The code book that where they had broken the Japanese purple code was not sent to Pearl Harbor, so they couldn't read the Japanese messages.
Interesting.
The radar that was already being installed on the West Coast to protect the West Coast of the United States, somehow or another had been slow getting to Hawaii. Just days before, there had been at least four aircraft carriers in Pearl Harbor, but they all left before the attack.
Right.
Okay, because anyone who knew anything at that time knew that it was naval aviation that was going to win the war in the Pacific, not the old obsolete battleships that could be sunk by one bomb from an airplane. And in fact, if you want to hear the story, as I understand it, back in the late 30s, the Pacific Fleet actually conducted some exercises, and as usual, they pitted some of the younger admirals against the older admirals, and the younger admirals were the aggressors.
Uh-huh.
The older admirals were the defenders, and so these younger admirals, most of them were supporters of General Billy Mitchell, who had proved back in the 20s that the battleship, far from being the ultimate weapon, was absolutely obsolete because an airplane with a big bomb could sink a battleship.
And so they
were advocates of Billy Mitchell's air power idea. And so they are the ones who conceived the plan to steam aircraft carriers north of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Wait till a Sunday when everybody's relaxing and in bed.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And then fly in from the north side of the island because right. there's always cloud cover built up there.
Right.
And they break out of the cloud cover, and then they're over Pearl Harbor. All the ships are sitting ducks, and on paper, they wiped out the Pacific Fleet. But, of course, the old admirals are going, well, that couldn't really happen.
Right.
No, not in reality, because
right.
We'd shoot back. You know,
right.
we got battleships.
Right.
Okay, but
right. Right.
What I understand is, though, mm-hmm. there were some Japanese military attachés
mm-hmm.
who were attending these exercises, and they're going, oh, fool, good plan.
Yeah,
and a few years later, they did
yeah.
the exact same thing on
sure.
December the 7th, 1941. It worked again.
I have to tell you, Jim, there was I don't know if you heard about this. You probably did, but after World War II, the British found in Berlin, they found a report done by the Nazis on how a U-boat had intercepted a telephone conversation between Winston Churchill on a battleship and President Roosevelt.
Who woke him up and said, I hate to wake you up, but I have news. And Roosevelt says, yeah, we already know the Japanese fleet sailed, and we think it's heading for Manila. And Churchill told him, no. No, Franklin, they're heading for Pearl Harbor.
That's right.
So that's just
that's
another
right.
thing. Hey,
that's right.
I personally met the son of a Dutch U-boat commander mm-hmm. who trailed the Japanese fleet until he saw clearly that they were on a course for Pearl Harbor.
Really?
And he
wow.
radioed back to his headquarters, and I think that was in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sent word to Washington, and they said, yeah, you know. And so, again, here's another example of foreknowledge. They
sure.
knew it was going to happen,
yeah.
just like on 9/11. There were people in the Pentagon, people in the White House, certain people in high positions who knew exactly what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I had heard after 9/11, Jim, that there were some people who worked for the CIA who actually shorted the airlines and made quite a bit of money.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you listening, if you'll think back, you'll remember in the days after 9/11, they said, yes, there were these shorting stock sales shorting
right.
that made millions of dollars change right. hands, and it was primarily on American and United Airlines,
mm-hmm.
which were the two airlines involved.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And they said, this probably, we're going to track this and see if it doesn't track back to Osama bin Laden. Well, it tracked back to people in the CIA, and
that's
so
right.
you never heard any more about that.
That's right. It all got quiet after that.
Yep.
Jim, we've got about 3 minutes left, and for those listening, I just want to I've been interviewing Jim Mars, a really interesting investigative reporter. I really like your work, Jim, because you tell the truth and you're not afraid. But I wanted to tell you we've got about a little less than 3 minutes left. I want to give you the rest of the time to feel free to talk about anything you like. You've been fascinating talking today.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate that. I just want to thank you for having me on, and I want to remind people that they can go learn more about Battlefield Earth on battlefieldearth.com,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
A really nice, well-presented website there, and I think you can even get a few free chapters of the book, and also want to mention the audio book. They've got this is amazing to me. They put the whole thing on audio.
Mm-hmm.
It's 47 and a half hours.
Wow, that's amazing.
This audio book, and it's got 68 or more voice actors doing mm-hmm. 150 or 190 characters
sure.
With 150,000 sound effects.
Oh my
and,
God!
And a full musical score. It to me it sounds like a movie for the mind. You know, so
well,
if you're planning a long trip or you have to get stuck in a commute every day, I mean, it'd be great to get the Battlefield Earth audio book and be listening to that.
Oh, yeah.
Then, of course, you're welcome to visit my website,
mm-hmm.
jimmarrs.com. That's
mm-hmm.
JimMarrs.com.
Mm-hmm.
I post a lot of stories from various sources that you're probably not going to find in the corporate mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
And plus a few comments. And then also, yes, you've mentioned some of my books. I would like to particularly mention my latest book, Population
mm-hmm.
Control,
mm-hmm.
How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
This one's really important, Ted, because Kennedy assassination, 9/11, war in the Middle East, you know, all that's important. But it very rarely actually directly affects an individual.
Mm-hmm.
But what the information I bring forth in Population Control is how these corporate leaders around the world are literally trying to kill us.
Wow.
with bad air, bad food, bad water, bad vaccinations, fracking, you name it, okay, destroying the water table.
Right.
And so this, to me, goes beyond politics and goes beyond philosophies. This gets into self-defense.
Amazing.
If you want to protect you and your loved ones, you really need to read Population Control,
Jim,
how corporate owners are killing us.
Thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. We've run out of time. The hour has gone by so fast.
I know, that was quick. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Jim. Have a wonderful day and keep up your good work, my friend. Please stay tuned to our next hour with Emmy Shanti from Los Angeles.